Ladies and gentlemen, we were not planning this impromptu video, but it is with the deepest of regrets that if you have not heard that we as Skywatch inform you the passing of our dear brother, Russ Dizdar. We're going to take a few minutes to kind of memorialize some of the moments that we had with Russ and send our deepest condolences and thoughts and certainly prayers to the family that survived Russ. I'm joined in the studio today by Derek Gilbert and also Drew Graffia. Gentlemen, I'll start with you, Derek. I know that over the last several years you had the privilege, as did I, as did my father, who thought the world of Russ, being at various conferences where he was speaking on the occult, evangelizing for the Lord in a way that only Russ could.
Mm-hmm.
We just discussed a moment ago the void that he leaves behind. You know, who fills a Russ Dizdar's shoes?
That's the thing. We've seen a number of fellow warriors fall, fellow soldiers in this battle here very recently.
Uh-huh.
Sharon said something very wise the other day. She said, you know, we need to remember that this is not a sprint that we're involved in. It's a relay. And now we pray for someone to pick up Russ's baton. When Sharon and I were first getting involved in writing, which was the process we thought would lead to a series of novels, and that's why we started our podcast, PID Radio, back in 2005. Turned out the writing was to get us to start the podcast, which was what led us to people like Russ,
yeah,
and your family, your dad, Steve Quayle, L.A. Marzulli, and so on and so on, and led to the research that we're doing now. I first heard of Russ on another podcast coming out of Florida. This would be around 2004, I think, 2004, 2005. And I was fascinated because he was talking about direct encounters with demonic entities, what Roman Catholics would call an exorcist.
Yeah.
Russ was describing what it was like, and it's nothing like the movies. I thought, now, a few years earlier, I would have thought this guy was just nuts and trying to get attention for himself, but he sounds really rational and really intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reached out to him, and we interviewed him for PID Radio, and then over the years interviewed him several more times for my personal podcast, A View from the Bunker. In fact, I was just going back through the archives this morning after hearing of Russ's passing and found an interview that was conducted at the Future Congress in Branson 10 years ago, 2011, which featured another fellow soldier who's just passed last Wednesday, Rob Skiba.
Rob and
Russ and another fellow, Jeff Patty, discussing the supernatural realm. And those interviews, those discussions with people like Russ and Rob and your father and L.A. and many others over the years, through the interview process, was the foundation of my education, which has led to where we are now. But Russ was, as you say, he was the same person when he wasn't in front of a crowd preaching. He was a little more low-key when he wasn't preaching, but he was the same. They were genuine. Russ and Shelley, who we pray for, she's still fighting. I was had occasion to be in Canton, Ohio, while I was still working in outside sales in the steel business. I said, hey, Russ, we're going on a tour of the expanded metal factory in your town. Hey, want to get together for lunch?
Yeah.
And we did, and it was wonderful. Shelley at a conference, one of the Hear the Watchman conferences, a couple of years ago, knowing how much we loved our dachshund, Sam, Sharon and I, gave us a little stuffed dachshund who then, because Sam was not allowed to travel with us to England and Scotland and Israel, Dizzy the dachshund went with us in Sam's place. And in fact, if viewers watch Unraveling Revelation that we're producing now, look carefully over my right shoulder in each episode because Dizzy sits right there and will be there every episode.
You know, you talked about, you know, when you first met Russ thinking, you know, maybe the kind of content he's covering could be mishandled or something to that effect. Because you do, when you get into the paranormal, when you get into the occult, you know, you're talking about charged items and people being able to afflict somebody else with viruses, various, you know, Wiccan spells. And, you're talking about some of the seedy stuff that happens around witchcraft, and where does TV sensationalize it, and where does reality actually take place through a biblical worldview? And here's Russ, and he's got this book called The Black Awakening. And I was struck by something my father said the first time he ever had the privilege of co-delivering content at a conference. He walked away and he kind of said the same thing. He said, there was this guy named Russ Dizdar there, and I wasn't sure what I was going to make of his presentation until I watched it. He said, wow, that guy knows the Bible.
He does.
My dad does not sprinkle that out frivolously. He really is very careful who he connects himself to. And from that moment on, it was this decade that followed where Russ was involved in several of our documentary movies and mm-hmm. was just a part of the great delusion on the coming UFO disclosure and so forth.
Right.
But my dad was always very careful, still is very careful who he allows to come to Skywatch or to be a part of our publishing house or whatnot. And he always thought that Russ was one of the smartest experts in the field of the occult and so forth.
Absolutely.
And I will tell you, those people that come in a room, they're just great listeners. And it's something you can't really define in words, but it's the way that they maintain eye contact and that gentle demeanor by which they nod with you. And they really, they put you at ease with their presence. Russ was just one of those guys that didn't require any labor to visit with socially.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's hard to explain, but especially if you're someone like me who is a bit of a social introvert, despite, how I may come off on TV or whatnot. He was always refreshing. He was always refreshing to visit with, the way that he carried himself. He was non-assuming, just a gentle spirit. He would never presume to tell you anything unless you asked and solicited. Russ, what do you think of this or that? And then you'd get this gracious, very well-researched, very balanced answer. So when you say, who fills the shoes of a Russ Dizdar, the answer is those that move into those genres have big shoes to attempt to fill. And I'm sure that God is raising people now to carry that mantle, but there's no filling a Russ Dizdar shoes.
Sure.
I want to shift over to you, Drew, because I know that you've said repeatedly, I've known Drew for a few years now, you've told me repeatedly that there were some guys very integral when you first started coming into the faith and really this Jesus person becoming more than just a big fictitious story that somebody else told in church years ago, but really started to build for you a worldview around biblical teaching that was both fascinating, engaging, and really lured you in and kept your attention. And you've told me that one of those very key people was Russ Dizdar.
Yes. When I first, even became aware of Christianity and anything like that, when I became saved, Russ's podcast was actually what helped me to understand my authority in Christ and to be able to stop the demonic attacks that were happening to me at night, because I was having stuff visit me at night, mess with me at night. And then I would listen to his podcast, and anybody who's heard his podcast, his love comes through the podcast.
Yeah.
He's talking about people who he knows are listening to his podcast that want to do him harm or bring him down, and he's praying for them directly to them through his podcast. So I remember listening to that, understanding what he was saying, learning about the demonic realm and where we stand in Christ, and being able to stop those things from happening to me. So that was in maybe 2010.
So this is when you were younger, and you say things were messing with you. What do you mean? Like,
things were visiting me in the night, holding me down, saying stuff in my ear when I was sleeping.
And you didn't understand any of this.
I had no idea what it was or why it was happening, how to stop it. I didn't know there was a way to stop it.
You're not living for the Lord at this time, though. And you look back and you believe maybe some of this was potentially demonic oppression or entities.
Yes, I had just made a decision to walk with the Lord, and that's when it all started. So I had a framework that it was evil, but I had no idea how to stop it. And I don't want to say most, but it seems like most people in the church don't address the demonic realm or they just write it off. So where do you go for help? And luckily I had his Shadow of the Darkness podcast to get me through that. And I listened to him for years. And actually when I met my wife Bree in 2017, we listened to the podcast together. It's one of the first things we did. And then flash forward to when I moved to Missouri, I actually got invited to a conference with him, and he was there, and I got to speak with him. And when you met this man, you could feel the presence of Jesus. You could feel him there.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I was describing, I guess. You know, we're saying it in different ways, but he absolutely carried that spirit with him.
He was what everything I would think a Christian would be is what I saw in Russ, where it's, you could tell there's Jesus there. You could tell that you're not just talking to a man, even though he's just a man, but you could tell the Holy Spirit is with this man in such a way that others would, in between each session, others would come around him and sit, literally sit at his feet as if he were an apostle.
Yep.
Just to hear what he would say about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He dealt with child sex trafficking, predators, demonic stuff, not just demonic stuff, but demonic rituals, demonic ritual abuse, all that stuff. But the one thing that you could tell with him was that he had the joy of the Lord.
That's right.
And it seems so counterintuitive. How could he be dealing with such darkness but have such a grasp on the joy of the Lord? But he did. And the one of the fondest memories I have of him is when we're driving home in an Uber from the conference to the airport.
You and your wife.
Me and my wife and Russ. And we were just talking about things, casually talking. And then he talks to the lady up front. He's like, "Hey, do you know the Lord?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, I have a little experience with God." And he just starts evangelizing her right there. He brings her into the talk. He doesn't dumb down his talk about the demonic realm that he was having with us. He invites her in. He evangelized her on the spot. He ended up blessing her greatly.
That's amazing, man.
And it's just, this man was a Christian. And those shoes may not be filled, but there are some good ones to seek after.
Well, and he leaves, you know, his writing and his research and a massive, massive Titanus legacy behind. We don't understand, with so much work yet to be done, you know, why this hour, you know, the Lord would call one of his own home. But for the friends and family, just know that we loved Russ.
We love Shelley, and we're continuing to pray for her as she is still not out of the woods. But the family, the daughters, and well, all who loved Russ, who were blessed by his ministry, his research, his teachings.
Yeah.
And that includes all of us here at Skywatch TV.
So from all of us here at Skywatch Television, Russ, we thank you for your work, your tireless commitment to the kingdom of God, the millions of hours you poured into the lives of people you didn't even know, and for showing all of us what it really looks like to be a true evangelist for the Most High.